Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Well, you're in for a special treat today. I wanted you to get a feeling and to see what our kids experience every week when they worship in their spaces, and especially what they're going to experience when you invite folks to Easter. Will you help me? There's going to be a lot of energy here. I want you to brace yourself. Will you please help me welcome the Vineyard Kids Worship Team? Man, isn't it cool to think that, I mean, don't you want to be in first grade again? All of our kids, every weekend, they experience this kind of worship where they can come and look and see people, you know, kids who are older than them who are loving Jesus. Isn't it great? Would you help me give them another huge round of applause? Awesome. That's so good. Well, hey, we should worship like that every weekend as adults. I mean, wouldn't it? Just next, bring your white pants, you know? Bring your bows, and then at the offering time, we'll pass out Advil and stuff. Yeah. So it would be required. I lost my breath just kind of watching all that go on. See if you can finish this sentence. What happens in Vegas? You've heard that too, huh? My mom has something in her kitchen. She took a picture of it, and I asked her if she had this. I thought she did. It says, what happens at grandma's? Stays at grandma's. And that means that she basically gives our kids candy and cookies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, jacks them all up on Mountain Dew, and then sends them back home. What happens there stays there. Where am I going with this? Well, what happens in places may stay in places, but what happened at the cross doesn't stay 2,000 years ago. This is what's so amazing about the cross, is that what happened at the cross, we actually access that very power in our lives today. We live by the power of the cross. At the cross, the song says, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I love the song, It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. There's a verse in there that says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. I mean, that'll make you praise the Lord and say, it is well with my soul. Whatever is going on in my life, whatever is going on in your life right now, it can be well with your soul because of what happened at the cross. But it doesn't just stay at the cross. We access what happened at the cross. The first week of this series, we were talking about, if you remember, the fact that Jesus came and he shared great messages and he did great miracles. But the mission of his life, the point of his life, was not the message or the miracles. The point of his life was on the cross, that he would go all the way to the cross. This was the defining moment, the hinge of history, that what happened at the cross. And then last week, if you remember, we talked about what happens when God's holiness collides with man's sinfulness. And I called you all sinners. Remember that? That was fun, wasn't it? And I said, how many of you are sinners? And you raised your... See, this is how crazy this place is. Like, yay, we're sinners. I asked you to raise your hand if you're a sinner, and most of you are honest. And then the ones who didn't raise your hand, I called you liars, and we all laughed, remember? And then that's if you were a guest or visitor last week, you probably are not back this week. But if you did come back this week, you're still a sinner. I just want you to know that. But we were talking about how the question usually is, how could a loving God separate and send people to eternity away from him? But the real question is, how could a holy God ever accept the likes of us, sinful people? How can these two come together? And when God's holy love collides with sinful man, you end up with the cross. And you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and you see the brutality of the cross, and you wonder, why did it have to be that way? It's not that Jesus was dreading the pain of the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was dreading the penalty of our sin, which he had never experienced as a perfect human and perfectly God. He was not dreading or lacking courage to endure the pain of the cross. Hundreds of thousands have endured the pain of the cross, but he had, in a perfect life, never had a moment of separation with the Father. That he would bear the sins of the world, that he would take the cup and he would drink the wrath of God until it was completely drained dry, the only one who could do it. This is what he was dreading when he was sweating drops of blood in the garden. He was the point of his life. And should I pray? To let this cup pass from me? Let this moment not be my moment? This is the moment. This is the hour for which I have been sent, that I would die on the cross. There was nothing going to keep him from the cross. We didn't have a reluctant God, reluctant to forgive us, sending his son as some third party whipping boy. Nor did we have a reluctant son who was not really wanting to go to the cross for us, but we had a God who loved us so much. God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son to die for us. And the son went willingly, and the father forgives willingly. And it was their plan from the very beginning that he would save us. So what I want to do today is I want to look at the cross, and I want to ask the question, what actually happened? Not physically what happened. We understand the crucifixion. But what transpired on the cross that's such great news for us today that we can access the cross, and it actually is the, I mean, it's there is no Christ without a cross. And there are no Christians without the cross, and there is no church without the cross. So what actually happened at the cross? Let me, very simply, I'll begin here. At the cross, Jesus took away our sins. Very simply, I mean, it's simple for us to say now, but what a conundrum for Almighty God, who is holy. What a dilemma. How will I forgive them? You say, well, he just stand on a hillside and just say, you're forgiven. That's not the way it works. And proven throughout all of Scriptures that there's a price that needs to be paid. There's blood that needs to be shed. There's a life that actually needs to be given in order for sin to be forgiven. And this is what Jesus did on the cross. He forgave us of our sins. The Bible word, when you study it out, is propitiation. I'm sure you use that every day. But I'll define it anyway. It means that God paid a debt that he did not owe to cover a debt that we could not ever pay. God paid a debt for you, for me, that he did not owe, for a debt that we could never pay. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Somehow, and it is a great mystery, when the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of God dies on the cross, he pays a penalty and satisfies the wrath of God and the holy love of God, so that our sins can be paid for. It's the only place in the world where your sins can be paid for. The greatest question we could ever be asked is, what will you ever do with your sin? And if you know that you are a sinner, not measuring yourself by the people seated around you. We do that, don't we? We're like, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, right? You've always got somebody in your family, you're happy they're there. It's like, well, at least I'm not like Uncle What's-His-Face, right? You compare yourself to somebody who's just, you know, it's going to make you look better. But now, see, the problem is you really actually have to compare yourself to Almighty God. So go Mother Teresa, you know, Billy Graham, and then go way above them. Now you're in deep tapioca, are you not? The only way that your sin can be forgiven and washed clean, behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, that one perfect, spotless Lamb would cover all of the sins of the world. Not a temporary fix of an animal sacrifice that we see throughout the Old Testament. Not a light covering of sin. Not a fig leaf covering for the time being. But a blood that will cover and wash all sin. See, at the cross, we are forgiven and accepted and made right with God. There's no other way. This is where we are made right with God. And is there anything better in life than being right with God? I remember when I was young and I heard about Jesus and I accepted Jesus and then I went away from Jesus. This is a miserable life. The backslidden life, the life of you know about Jesus but you're not living for him. Has anybody else other than me been dumb enough to try that? And you know that you're apart from God? Jesus made a way for us to be right with God, to be accepted by him. Think about this, that you, and you know you have this ability now because of Jesus. Nothing that you've done on your own. No way that you could ever do this. But he has made a way for you to be accepted and right with God. Now, there may be things in your life that are not right. And we have a lot going on in our lives, undoubtedly. But when you can be right with God, you lay down at night and you have all other stuff going on in your life, but you're right with God, that means you have peace with him. That means you can have an ongoing conversation with the God of the universe. You can be right with God. And there's no reason today, right here, right now, for any person to leave this place. I'm not saying that all of your problems are going to be immediately solved. They surely will not. But there is no reason you should leave this place without being right with God. If there's any distance between you and God, even as you're here, or maybe for the first time you've been thinking about, wow, this cross is real and Jesus is real, you can even right now in your own heart say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I want to be right with God. I a lot of stuff in my life might not be right, but there's one thing you can have today because of the cross. You can be right with God. If you've been away from him for however long, it doesn't matter. You can come and be right with him. You may be tempted to say, well, my sin is too great. And it sounds like a humble thing to say, doesn't it? Like, no, I mean, he can reach all these other people. But basically what you're saying is the blood of Jesus is good enough for the whole universe, but my sin is far too great. Really? That's just pride. You just come to the cross and you accept that his blood will forgive all of us and you can be right with him. This is the beauty of what he did at the cross. You can be right with him today. Isaiah 53:11 says it this way. After he has suffered, this is hundreds of years before Jesus ever came on the scene, telling of Jesus, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, that's Jesus, my righteous servant will justify many and he will bear their iniquities. The word in scripture and the idea in theology is being justified, that somehow, and I can't explain this, it'll take us eternity to understand this mystery, somehow that when Jesus was a perfect sacrifice on the cross, it changed our standing with God in that it made us just as if we'd never sinned. A legal status, if you will, that God now looks at you and sees somehow the blood of Jesus in the same way that the death angel passed over the household of the Israelites when they had the blood of the lamb on the post. The death angel didn't see them the same way. He saw the blood of the lamb. And now as you have accepted Christ into your life, as you've relied on him for your sacrifice, as you've trusted in him, when the Father looks at you, he sees you as acceptable, as justified, as right with him. What a miracle that the blood of Jesus would do that for us. It puts us in right standing with the Father. See, at the cross, and because of the cross, we've been reconciled with the Father. Reconciled is another biblical word that we probably don't use very much in our lives. And you can imagine over the past few weeks with all the theology that I've been reading, it's like swimming in peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, man, we need a light moment to, we've been talking about the cross. So we needed a light moment to understand what reconciliation is. And so I went back to, some of you are like me and everything becomes a song from the 1970s or 80s or 60s or 50s. Okay, or 2000s or 2014, okay? Like when my daughter hears a song from last year, she's like, oh, that's so old. I'm like, dear God, help me. So I went back to a song by Peaches and Herb. You with me right now? All right. I think they were a one-hit wonder, I'm not sure. But they sang a song that you should sway to. This is just a break in the middle of a very serious message about the cross of Jesus and how it gets you eternally saved and all the deep thinking of reconciliation, propitiation, justification, and the ramifications of all of that. But play the song. I see people swaying. Just make it a date right there. Make it a date. Yeah. Somebody, okay, they got their phone up. You need a night out. That's what you need. You need to get away from the kids. You were waiting for the hey, hey part, right? You knew that. You guys will have to Google that when you get home, but it's good. That's good music right there. Peaches and Herb. I want to say Herb? No, Herb. Describe what Jesus did on the cross with us and the Father. We had a relationship that was broken beyond repair. We underestimate the brokenness. We underestimate our sin. But if you ever underestimate the brokenness of the relationship or the sin in your life, you only need to look to the cross. And you say, that's what my sin did. And that was the price that had to be paid, the penalty that had to be paid for me to be reconciled with God, for me to be reunited, with God. Lord, please forgive me for that part of the message. This is what it took. There's only one way. This is why Jesus claims, which, by the way, every religion of the world claims exclusivity. It's not just Christians who say that Christ is the only way, but every religion of the world says that their way is the only way. Or they'll say that we're completely tolerant of every way except the way that is not tolerant, and they're not tolerant of the intolerant way. Are we right together right now? So when Jesus claims exclusivity, it's just because that's what truth does. That's what truth actually is. When I say something is true, I'm absolutely saying that something else is not true. Trying to state the truth and there not being any untruth would be like a one-ended stick. Are you with me right now? Jesus says the only way to the Father is through the cross, because this is the only way that he would pay a price for us to be reconciled again with the Father. He paid for our reconciliation. He paid for us to be reunited. There was nothing. This is the most beautiful part about the cross, is that it had absolutely nothing to do with anything you have ever done. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything you have ever done except sin. And God loves you so much that he took the initiative. He sent his Son. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And this is good news, because this means I'll never earn my way to salvation. It's been bought and paid for, and the only way you can get it is to come and receive it by faith, trusting totally in him and putting no trust in yourself, so that no person could ever boast. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. So we come to him with humility, and then if we're ever going to live and be sanctified and grow in this holiness, we just keep coming back to the cross, don't we? We keep coming back. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse you of all sins and make you righteous and whole. And so you take the cross on, and you're righteous in right standing with God. He's reconciled you to the Father, and then you live this life. And how do you live it? Well, now you live it by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for you. And you live a crucified life, and you carry that cross with you everywhere you go. And it doesn't remind you of your righteousness. It reminds you of his righteousness. It reminds you of the price that he paid. And it reminds you that your right standing with God today has been bought by Jesus. You are in right standing with God today. It's nothing that you've done. It's not just because you come to church a lot, and God bless you for that. We love that. But it's not because of that. It's because of what he paid. Colossians 1:19 through 22 says this, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." Jesus was fully God and fully man. "And through him," through Jesus, "to reconcile," think reunited, "to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." "And you," now you're about to get insulted, get ready, "who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reunited, reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." Holy and blameless and above reproach. These are words I did not ever expect to be affiliated with me, with you. Holy, blameless, above reproach. This is what the blood of Jesus and accessing the cross does for you. Holy, blameless, above reproach. This is why we can come boldly before the throne of, not wrath, the throne of grace. Make our request known to the Father. Why do we come boldly before the throne? Because on the cross the veil was torn, and we walk into the Holy of Holies now, not based on us, but based on his blood. We're holy. We can approach him now because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Holy and blameless and above reproach, and able to now approach him, to talk to him, to enjoy his presence, to enjoy living for him. Not only does the cross reconcile us with God, No, this way. But it also reconciles us with one another. At the cross, we've been reconciled with each other. This is a unique thing about the cross, that we don't, though we can come to the cross as an individual, when we bow our knee to Jesus and say, I believe God sent you, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, I'm going to live my life for you. There's a reconciliation that happens with the Father, but then we immediately become a part of a community of Christ followers. There's a community at the cross. And whether you knew it or not, you were grafted into an entire family. All of the people around you who have also accepted Christ in this one community, reconciling us with one another. You got brothers and sisters sitting around you. And this is why when we get baptized, one of the reasons that we do it right up here in the baptismal tank, and the reason that I don't come to your house like and just come to your bathtub with you and me and your family there, for one, that would be really awkward, and I don't want to come to your house and your bathtub. But one of the other reasons is because when you signify his death and resurrection, you're not just an individual being baptized. I just baptized myself in the name of, no. No, you're baptized as an initiation into the family. You're saying, I'm identifying with Christ, I've been reconciled with him, but you're also saying, I accept the brethren. I accept the fact that there are people who eat Cajun food that I'm now brothers with. I accept the fact that there are people who are born and raised on Tex-Mex. Glory to God for Tex-Mex. Man, we went to Houston and we found out what barbecue was really all about. Man, the barbecue in Texas, it's like you throw a rock and hit an incredible barbecue place. Just incredible. Like most of my friends had pickup trucks and barbecue pits. Not a little barbecue pit. I'm talking about pull behind barbecue pits. I know I'm on a tangent right now, but it's barbecue, people. And there's people who were brought up on steak and potatoes. My dad from the Midwest, and we like corn, anything corn. You know, cornbread, corn tortillas, corn on the cob. They got that corn that's like all mushed together, and it's like runny corn. I don't know what you call it. What's it called? Cream corn. Thank you, Cincinnati. I was hurting up here. Woo! Anything with corn. Love it. What's the alcohol they make from corn? That was a test. Okay, just seeing. Probably that too, anything from corn. And there's people who are brought up in Cincinnati, and Cincinnatians are passionate about chili. Who knew? Who knew? And you guys have opinions about chili. Shout out your favorite chili place. Dang! But right now, even though all these people said Skyline, there's five people right now ticked about because there's this one place that's way better than that. Am I right? You have opinions about it. We're all brought up different places, all different foods, different backgrounds, make you wonder what's at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a marriage supper of the Lamb, that when we get together, there's food. You know, Jesus likes it when we get together and share food with one another. It's the last supper he had. And then when he came back from the dead, he's making fish on the shore. And he's having a meal. There's something wonderful about sharing a meal. You wonder, what's going to be at that meal? Tex-Mex? Maybe? Some Cajun food? I don't know. Some of you are like Greek food, you know? I don't know. Jesus was brought up in the Middle East. I have some friends who are from Sri Lanka, and everything that they eat has curry on it. Pineapple curry, chicken curry, potatoes curry, everything curry. Maybe that's what will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, because that's what Jesus likes. I don't know. It'll be all different, I can tell you that. Where am I going with this? You're wondering. Well, for one, I must be hungry. It's not only that we're reconciled with the Father individually, but folks, the cross is all about us being reconciled with one another from all different backgrounds, from all different ideas, from all different upbringings and all different families and all different experiences. Not that we would be in some melting pot of assimilation, but we would be in a tossed salad of great variety that God enjoys. This is one of the reasons that Christ died for us, to reconcile us to the Father, of course, but then to also reconcile us to one another and give us his peace. This is peace that the world really doesn't know. John 14, 27, Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is it's a gift the world cannot give. Friend, you know that the world is looking for peace. You do understand that there are great divisions in the world and always have been, and there always will be until Christ returns. He is the Prince of Peace, and until he is seen, there will not be peace on the earth. There's an animosity that we have towards one another. If there's an animosity that sin creates towards the Father, how much more towards one another? I don't have to tell you right now that we don't get along in this culture, right? In this world. And there's wars, and there's rumors of wars, and there's genocide, and there's all of these things that are going on all the time. And people are wondering, where's the peace at? Where is the love? And every song that you ever hear is all about where is the love. And my wife and I went downtown to a modern dance show at Aronoff. Do you say it Aronoff or Aronoff? Aronoff? Thank you, Cincinnati. Aronoff. And we saw a show that was all Marvin Gaye music. It was wonderful. It's called What's Going On. And the dancing was like phenomenal. It was unbelievable how good this show was. And the music was all Motown fantastic. And but I have to admit that by the end of the show, I had an emptiness on the inside from the answers that were given about, because the whole show is about how could we love one another. The idea that we could drudge up within our own human ability some capability to really genuinely, sacrificially love one another. There's no greater love that anyone has than they lay down their life for their friend. And by this we know what love is, that he laid his life down. This is the only true love that there is. It's a sacrificial love. And the only way you know it is because you've experienced it with Christ. And then you bear that cross and with one another, that's how you genuinely love one another. Not of a man-made compassion or some man-made idea of we're just all going to get along. Can't we all just get along? To that, the answer is no, we cannot. Not without the cross, we cannot. And we become ambassadors of reconciliation because we carry that cross with us and we know what it is to be loved. And so then we love, genuinely love one another. And the world is longing for this kind of love. Longing to see what it really looks like as they draw lines between people. Blue lives matter. Purple lives matter. Come on, really? They draw lines every single day. Women over men, or men over women, or children over parents, or parents over children, or this color over that color, or this job, or you see it every day. And the line is drawn and drawn, and there's something on the inside of us that it doesn't satisfy. When we're at this show and we're hearing all this great music, I was reminded that Marvin Gaye sang about peace, and he sang, you know, even in the song, What's Going On? Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer. Only love can conquer hate. Great song. Through the whole song is wonderful. An ironic twist, as you probably know, Marvin Gaye died in a fight with his own father, and his father shot him to death. John Lennon sang about peace and was gunned down in the streets. I'm not saying this about them individually. They were wonderful people. But the world is at odds with one another. And the cross is really the only answer. The cross is the only thing that brings true peace so that we can have peace with one another. So that people from all different backgrounds, God, let this be a place where all nations are represented. Well, we don't prove our love to one another when we're the same. We prove the love of Christ when there's differences between us. And we can still break bread together. We still love one another. Ephesians 2, 13 and 14, it says this. Paul is talking here. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Now he's talking about us, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Now this, he's not talking about our relationship with the Father only. He's talking about two groups of people, and it looked like the church was going to completely split in the first century between Jews and those dogs, the Gentiles. This was a major problem. And he said, God at the cross has broke down the dividing wall and brought these two groups together. They would have heard this and been amazed. The dividing wall referenced a small wall that would have been in the synagogue where the Jews were on one side and the Gentiles on the other. And should they cross, death would be the penalty. There was division. There was flat out racism. They didn't like the Samaritans, yet Jesus passed through Samaria. He had to. And then spoke with a woman at a well in Samaria. He had to. They were shocked at this. How about one other time where Jesus was being, there was a woman whose daughter was severely demon-possessed. She's a Gentile woman. And the Jewish people, they were just flat out racist towards other groups of people. They were God's chosen people and nobody else was getting in. This was the mindset. And this Gentile woman cries out to Jesus. He ignores her. He says nothing. Ignores her. But of course he knows, we know from the latter part of the story, that he knows the faith that this woman has. But he says nothing. Then she keeps crying out, and the disciples want to put her away. And he says, I've come to the lost children of Israel. And all the Jewish people would have nodded in agreement. Yes, yes, to the lost children of Israel. We are God's chosen people. But she doesn't stop. She keeps crying out to Jesus. And then he says this, should I take the bread from the children's table and toss it to the little dogs? Dude, if you weren't offended yet, I mean, really? You ignore me and then you talk about your chosen people and then you call me a little dog. I'm going to be leaving now. But she doesn't. She comes back with faith. Okay, a little dog, okay. But even the little dogs get scraps from the master's table. And then this is the whole point of the story. Jesus knew that she had faith in him. And he says to her, great faith. Look at this great faith. And because of your faith, everything that you desire is happening now. And her daughter, even that very hour, was completely healed. And can you imagine what the Jewish believers would have felt in that moment that he had healed this Gentile? Peter was so amazed that God would even reach out to Gentiles that God had to give him a vision of a sheet that came down full of unclean food that he had never had. And he said, I've never eaten that food. And God says, eat that food. I've never eaten any of that unclean food. He was preparing him to send him to Cornelius's house, if you can believe it, to a Gentile's home, that he would go inside the home with these Gentiles. And they were shocked. He said, well, I preached to them, and do you know what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on them just like it did on us. What's God up to? From the very beginning, the promise to Abraham was, through your seed, I will reach all nations. It was God's plan, of course, we know now from the very beginning, that through the cross of Christ, he would bring all tribes, all tongues, and all nations to himself. Why is this so important? Because there's level ground at the cross. Galatians 3:26 through 28 says this, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Because of the cross, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. He didn't just come to make us right with him. Yes, to make us right with him, but also to make it possible for us to be right with one another. And at the ground of the cross, economic background and what kind of food you were brought up on and where you were raised and what nation you're a part of, none of that matters. We're all equal in him. My prayer, and I know this is your prayer too, is that we continue to be the kind of church where all nations are loved. And why is it so important? Because by this will others know that we're actually following the risen Savior. Our love for one another shows the world that it's actually possible. The best witness we'll have in our community is our love that we have for one another. And that is bought at the cross. Will you stand with me? I got to stop there and we'll pray. I'll remind you today there's prayer and communion available at the front before you go, if you'd like that. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, it's been so great to be together, and we've been able to sing together and worship you together. We've been able to give. Lord, thank you for the worship team that we got to see in all their bows and bright colors. What a joy to see young people worship you with all their heart. And now, Father, we just thank you for your cross. We thank you that we get to be made right with you. It's a miracle, really. May we enjoy and walk in that grace and freedom today and access it just by simple faith and trust in you, God. And Lord, I just pray that you would now go with your people. I pray a blessing over your people, that they would go in the power of your Holy Spirit. Your love and your grace and your joy and your peace would go with them as a light to the rest of the world this week. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.